Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 185th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and today is miracle number 7, the 7th and final miracle in the Miracles of Jesus series out of the Gospel of John, and it's titled Raising Lazarus. We're going to look at John chapter 11 in a little bit out of chapter 12. And you know, the truth is that Jesus is the only reason we're alive. He's holding it all together. Just read Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. As a matter of fact, he came that we might live. So he's the only reason I live. He's the only reason you live. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Yet most people today, they don't have life. They merely exist and are fighting as they try to live. Yet Satan's robbing the very essence of life from them. Remember, Jesus warned he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're not the fools, those of us who follow Jesus. The real fools are those who are merely existing and mistaking that for living. They don't understand life and what living truly is. The former Prime Minister of England back in the 19th century, named Disraeli, said that youth is a blunder, manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. And that's absolutely true if you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And do you remember that Jack Devorkian, Dr. Death? Dr. Jack Devorkian. Who could forget him, you know? He was asked once on an interview, I think it was on ABC, but don't quote me on that. He was asked about his faith. And he said that people like us, that's those of us who follow Jesus, base our whole outlook on mythology. So Kevorkian, he believed that we believe mythology. And then he said, religion is an internal spiritual world. And I have my own God, Johann Sebastian Bach. Then he went on to say, why not? You invent your gods, at least mine's not invented. So that's Dr. Death. But listen to what the Apostle John wrote about our Lord of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this in John chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said unto her, okay, and this is in that discourse he had with Mary, Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Well, I tell you, the meanings in that are so rich and so full. There's layers upon layers of meaning there. But I'm telling you simply put, I'd rather go with the Lord of life any day rather than Dr. Kevorkian or Disraeli any day. And, you know, so far we've seen 6 miracles in this series. And these were miracles or signs with a deeper, much deeper spiritual significance. So, yeah, they are literally true physical miracles, miracles of glory, but they contained such a deep, deep message of grace. So, yes, these miracles happened, but these miracles happened to teach us a greater lesson on these eternal spiritual truths. So today we're going to study the 7th miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus didn't simply raise Lazarus from the dead just to raise Lazarus from the dead. That wasn't his point. He raised Lazarus from the dead to teach us this deep, deep spiritual truth, this truth concerning eternal life. So people don't understand this eternal life. They think, oh, when I die and I get to the other shore of Jordan, when I get to heaven, when I get to the other side of eternity, then I'll have eternal life. No! Eternal life begins the moment that you believe. Right now, if you say you believe, just ask the Lord to help you with your unbelief. Just remember, God gave us Jesus as our answer to death. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. That's why I say, believe in miracles, but trust only in Jesus. So get ready to learn these 4 powerful spiritual truths contained in this miracle of the raising of Lazarus. I'm just going to list all 4. We get our life from Jesus. We get our liberty through Jesus. We get our love for and from Jesus. And then we should express our loyalty to Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? So stay tuned if you want to learn how to live a full, wonderful, abundant life in Jesus. Let's start with that first one. We must experience life in Jesus. That's the only way we can truly live, folks. John chapter 11, verse 14 says, Jesus talks about his friend. He's talking about his friend here, okay? And he says, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is what? What was Lazarus? What's the word? Just want to see if you're listening. Lazarus is dead. That's right, Lazarus is dead. So he had this huge problem. He's dead. Now, there's all sorts of nice things the people could have said as they went over to Mary and Martha's house to pay their last respects. They could say, look at that full head of hair Lazarus has, or look at that nice skin tone he had. He must have spent a lot of time in the sun before he died. Or boy, isn't he wearing a nice outfit. Or look at all of his friends that came to pay their last respects. Or look at this nice coffin he's laying in, this nice couch he's laying on. But no matter what nice thing they said about him, there's one thing that's very wrong about him. He's dead. D-E-A-D. He's dead. And today, haven't you noticed that people say so many euphemistic things concerning death and the death of a loved one? They'll say, oh, he's passed, or he's passed away, or he's passed on. No! He's dead! And in that same sense, I'm going to tell you something really wonderful about you today. You may scratch your head and say, what? But unless you know Jesus, you're dead too. But Jesus is your solution to this problem of death. That's the good news. The point is that many of you right now listening to this may be dead. But don't worry, because even though you're dead in trespass and sin, the Bible gives us the path to life, and that path to life is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So do you know anybody that's dead like that? I know Pittsburgh, where I am from or near, is full of dead people. I know every big city is. And those farmers out in the country, if they don't know Jesus, they're in the same boat. The point is, unless we know Jesus, we're all dead, even though we appear to live. So there are a lot of other people out there now. So you got these people that appear to be living, but they're dead. And then you got these other people that are dead, but live. And I know this might sound like a contradiction, but you could say, oh, my mom is dead, or my dad is dead. You know, my dad died a couple years ago, but he's not dead because he knew Jesus. And if your loved one who's gone knew Jesus in relationship while they were here on earth, although they quote-unquote died, they're just somewhere else right now, kicking up the gold dust, so to speak, in the streets of heaven, you know? So they're not dead. They're in the presence of the Lord. And those that are living now or appearing to live now in worldly pleasure are dead while they live. But when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. Just think about that. So sometimes I look around and we think, oh, I'm better off than that person, or I'm better off than that person. But really, are you? You're not, unless you have Jesus. And then there shouldn't be any kind of smugness or pride. There should not be nothing but gracious humility when you realize that you're only alive because of Jesus. You know, Jesus rose three people from the dead in the Bible, or at least they give an account. The Bible gives three accounts. Do you remember who they were? First, there was that little girl in the back bedroom. And you know, Jesus said, well, she's sleeping, but she was actually dead. And when Jesus said that, everybody laughed at him. Well, her body was still warm, but she was dead. It didn't matter. You know, she just wasn't dead long enough. And Jesus went back there while everybody was laughing at him, and he said, Talitha cum. And that means, little girl, you wake up. And in some of the Ethiopic Bibles, they say, Tabitha cumi. And you can see that same expression in some of the Greek versions. But what this means, little girl, I command you to wake up. And so what she do? She wakes up. Jesus raises the little girl. And then one time Jesus crossed the paths with a funeral procession when a young man's body was being carried away for burial. Now, on this guy, rigor mortis had already set in, but not decay. And what did Jesus go and do? He raised him from the dead, too. And then the third one's the one we're focusing on today. This is the raising of Lazarus. And what do we know about this guy, Lazarus? Well, he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. He was putrefying. Decay and corruption had set in. So when Jesus said to them, roll away the stone, they said, but Lord, wait a minute. No, no. What about the stench? And I love how the King James says it. It says, surely he stinketh. Yeah, he stunk. But nonetheless, Jesus said, roll away the stone. So Lazarus' body had already begun to decay, yet Jesus even raised Lazarus from the dead. So let me ask you a question. Which one of these three people was more dead? The little girl, the young man, or Lazarus? Which one was the most dead? Well, the point here is dead, isn't it? So there's no such thing as being a little dead, just like there isn't anything as being a little pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either dead or you're not. Dead is dead. Yet sadly, what we do is turn around and look at other people, like that drunk covered with vomit and flies in the gutter and reeking of corruption, or the drug addict or the prostitute, and we say, oh, look at that, I'm so glad I'm not like them. Well, you are if you don't have Jesus. So let me tell you a truth. Without Jesus, you're just as dead as all of them. You're just like that girl, and not yet like Lazarus. See the point? So I want to tell all you young ladies listening today, you may be a sweet teenage girl, sexually pure as the white snow. You've never used booze and drugs. You do all your homework. Your mom and dad are so proud of you. You're on the gymnastics team. Yet if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're dead in trespass and sin, just as dead as that drunk in the gutter that you may walk by when you go to one of your ballet recitals. Yeah, that's you, and I hope you understand that. And the point I'm trying to make here is we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we must experience life in Christ. That's the only way to truly live. So how do you experience life in Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at it the other way. And suppose we had a dead person. We're going to try to raise him from the dead. You know, let's say it's on CNN or Fox News. And they bring in the talking heads and all the paid experts. What do you suppose those sociologists and those psychologists and those psychiatrists and those biochemists and those transhumanists, what do you suppose they're going to say we need today to raise this dead man? What do you suppose they're going to say we need? Well, you can sum it up in what I call the four E's: example, encouragement, environment, and education. That's what they say. Now, of course, we're talking about the figurative dead man, but they're even trying to raise the true physical dead men now. And they say the way you do this is by example. Just give them an example. Show them how to live the good life. Others say you need encouragement. You need to affirm their self-esteem. You need positive affirmation. Others say it's just environment. If you give them a good place to live and you give them an access card so they can buy food, they're going to be fine. Oh, really? What environment were Adam and Eve in when they fell? Oh, the perfect environment. I don't think that's the answer. And then others say education. You just need to teach them. Well, what tree did Adam and Eve eat from when they fell from grace? What was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I don't think that works either, does it? So the point is, our culture, it spends billions of dollars on these four things trying to give life to the dead. But the truth is, the only way we'll ever receive life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, to tell us all about his amazing grace. And how did he raise Lazarus? Well, I love this. In verse 43, John says that when he, that's Jesus, had thus spoken, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, I want you to notice something here. There wasn't any pleading, no arguments. All Jesus said was, "Lazarus, come forth." So how do we raise men and women from the spiritual dead? The same way Jesus raised Lazarus, by the word, by his word. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 43, "It is the spirit that quickeneth," or giveth life. "The flesh profiteth nothing." So this word quickeneth, remember, it means to give life. So Jesus says, "The word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Praise the Lord. Likewise, these words I'm speaking to you right now, they are spirit and they are life. Why? Because they're the word of God. And the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive. It's energized from power on high. Praise the Lord. So that's the word of God. So if you want to raise a dead man, you raise him with the word of God. And that's the reason the Bible says in Philippians 2:16, we are holding forth the word of life. So we must experience life through Jesus. Secondly, we must exercise liberty through Christ. In verse 44 of chapter 11, John writes that Lazarus comes out of the grave, and then he says, "And he that was dead came forth." But listen to how he came forth. "He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Just picture that scene. Take your sanctified imaginations right now. Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." And I'm telling you, every eye must have been fixed on this, gazing at that gaping hole when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Can you picture this as Lazarus came out bound in grave clothes? And he just stood there appearing at the mouth of the tomb, kind of shuffling like a mummy, you know? And the point I want to try to make here, he had life but no liberty. He was bound. He was blind. He was gagged. He couldn't walk. He couldn't work. He couldn't speak. He couldn't even see. Yet he had life. And then Jesus said to the others around him, loose him and let him go. Now, at this point, before those around him loosed him, he was like so many Christians I know today. They were saved, but they're not living a life in victory. They've been to Calvary for their pardon, but they haven't yet had their personal Pentecost for power. So they've got pardon, but no power. And what they're doing is they're living the first part of Romans 5:10. And I love reading this in the Amplified. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So that's the pardon at the cross at Calvary. But then listen to the second part. And this is so powerful. And you can really only get it if you read the Amplified, which just blows apart those words that you see in the King James. It says, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall live. How? We shall live. We shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. So somehow, so many Christians have gotten bogged down between their pardon at Calvary and their power at Pentecost. We're all supposed to live that power of the resurrection life. So most Christians have life, but they don't have liberty. You see what I'm trying to say here? Now, think about this. How would you have liked to invite Lazarus over to dinner while he's still bound in his grave clothes? Think about it. He may have life. Maybe he cut the ones around his legs so he can walk, and he peeled back the ones on his eyes and mouth so he could see and breathe and hear. But he still had his grave clothes on. The stench of death was upon him. He still stunk. And these grave clothes, they're relics or symbols of his old life. And our Lord says, take them off, unwrap them, loose them, let them go. The point is that Jesus didn't simply come to give us life. He came to give us abundant life and liberty. How? In him and through him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise the Lord. So he doesn't want us wearing the old grave clothes of our old life. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. And then in verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise the Lord. The point here is that as believers, so many of us are still wearing our grave clothes, our old life, and yet we've been truly saved. So our old loves, our old lusts, our old learning, our old lies, they all remain with us. And many believers are still bound by their grave clothes, their old life. And Jesus says, set them free. And that's the reason we need fellowship in the church. Do you know what the first ministry of the church is? It's to call forth the dead. It's to speak the word of truth. Faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is a man saved? He must hear the word. And how is it heard? By preaching. And blessed is the man who preaches. That's what Paul told us in Romans. But you know what another ministry of the church is? It's to unwrap the saints and give them liberty. Liberty through a life in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's done as you raise up the saints and make disciples out of them. It's called discipleship, and you can read about that in Ephesians 4. People call it the five-point ministry. It's really the four-point because it's preaching and teaching. They're co-joined. I think I may have done a message on that. Anyways, thank God for the Christians who unwrapped me and who are still patiently unwrapping me and dealing with the stench of my old grave clothes. I'm so grateful for the church I was raised in. Praise the Lord. My mom and dad raised me in a staunch Roman Catholic church, and I know they didn't get everything right in the confession of the Roman Catholics, but my mom and dad, they loved Jesus, and somewhere along the line in that situation, both my mom and dad woke up to the fact that Jesus told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. They got saved. Praise the Lord. I love this saying. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. My dad died once. He's with the Lord. His body died, but his spirit and his soul, they live on in Jesus. And one day, he's going to be joined in his resurrection body, and he's going to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. And so do you and your loved ones. if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ right now and live. So I'm just so grateful that the church helped unwrap me from my grave clothes. So first of all, we have to have life from Jesus. Second of all, we have got to have liberty in Jesus or through Jesus. And then thirdly, we must enjoy love for Jesus. So experience life in Jesus, exercise liberty through Jesus, and then start to enjoy life and love for Jesus. Just love him. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Jesus was, which was dead, remember, where Jesus was, where Lazarus was, which was dead, whom he raised, that's Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now listen to verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So he had his grave clothes off. He didn't stink anymore. And he was alive. He was living in liberty. Isn't that incredible? So Lazarus had life, he had liberty, and now he's having fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. So he's gone from the tomb to the table, the king's table. He's sitting at the table with no more grave clothes on. He's face to face with Jesus. Wouldn't you love to have a meal and fellowship with Jesus? Well, that's what we do every time we come to the Lord's table. That's a meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 23, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. So as you read your Bible, you'll see that many times Jesus is inviting his disciples to come and eat with him. It's a come and dine. And that's the legacy to fellowship with one another, and our legacy to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and dine. Feast on the word. Sure, have a meal. We do it at Sozo's every Friday night. We have a meal. And then when we're done with the physical food, we sit at the table and sup with the Lord on a spiritual feast last night. We did John chapter 5 in the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And a little bit later, I'm going to quote a couple of those scriptures, and you're going to see how they tie into this. Okay? So that's the legacy of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and one another. And the point I want to make here is that salvation, it's not a penalty that we pay in order to get to heaven. No, it's a gift. And I'd want to be a Christian, folks, even if there wasn't a heaven. But there is. And why? Just to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. But we have so much more. Not only do we have eternal life now, but we're going to go to his house and dwell with him, like David wrote in Psalm 23. Oh, boy, just to be loved by the Lord and to love him back. I'm telling you, there's nothing better. And then here's the fourth and final truth. We must express our loyalty to Jesus. So there's life from Jesus, there's liberty through Jesus, there's love for Jesus, and finally, loyalty to Jesus. I'm going to read John chapter 12, verses 9 and 11. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he, that's Lazarus, was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they came that they might see Lazarus also, whom he, that's Jesus, had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted they might put Lazarus to death, because by that reason of him, that's Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And you know those old Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians, they couldn't have that. They were losing control. Oh, you couldn't have that. So here's this Lazarus, the man with life and liberty and love, all from Jesus. And he's now expressing loyalty to Jesus. He's standing there for Jesus. He's giving testimonies for Jesus. You know, the Bible says testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Look it up in Revelation chapter 19. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul tells us what prophecy is now. True prophecy is meant to encourage, to edify, okay, and to exhort our fellow believers. So if you're walking around saying you're prophesying and you're doing something other than encouraging, edifying, and exhorting your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I think the spirit of prophecy from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's for sure. So he's getting people saved. He's bearing testimony of Jesus. Lazarus is the right hand of Jesus. He's the mouthpiece of Jesus now. Okay? So there are no more physical resurrections at this time in the gospel. because there's a deeper purpose of this miracle. Dead people are still believing on Jesus and getting saved and receiving eternal life, but now it's gone to a so much deeper thing. And this is what I wanted to read out of the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 that we read last night at Sozo's. And this is Jesus saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly. So listen up, folks, because this is really important. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's what we're doing right now, and believeth on him that sent me, that's the Father, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then he goes on with another verily, verily, in verse 25, and he says, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and is now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Wow. So the Pharisees who didn't believe this said, we've got to do something about this guy. Shut him up. Put him to death. Now talk about a joke. What a joke. They're threatening Lazarus with death. They're going to kill Lazarus. You think Lazarus is the least bit worried about this? Do you? Do you think death had held any terror over Lazarus, the man who come back from the grave? No, he's not intimidated by the fact that they could put him to physical death. Just remember that Satan, the sinister minister of fear, uses fear, the fear of death, like the Bible says, to keep people in bondage. Read about it in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. But Lazarus, he isn't afraid of death anymore, because he who was dead had heard the voice of the Lord and lives. So it happened both physically and spiritually to him, and it can happen right now to you physically. And then what do you have? Eternal life. Praise the Lord. So then they can destroy his body. They can destroy your body. But all they're going to do is hasten our way to heaven for those of us who know Jesus because we believe. The point here is that no man is ready to live until he's truly no longer afraid to die. So when we're no longer afraid to die, then we live as Lazarus lived. And so we live our lives for Jesus, and we have life and liberty and love and fellowship and loyalty, all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're experiencing the life that Jesus is talking about when he said, I have come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. So here's the bottom line of this whole thing. If you've got problems and you're not saved and you're searching for answers to your problems, I want you to know that you shouldn't be looking for a what, but rather a who. And his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's answer to all of our problems. Praise the Lord. So all those other six problems of humanity and all those other six miracles can be summed up with this big one called victory over death, the raising of Lazarus. Remember the story of the four men who carried the paralyzed man in on the cot to Jesus? You know, just use your sanctified imaginations just for a moment and think about it. Picture these four guys saying to this totally paralyzed friend of theirs. You remember they took the roof off that building and lowered him in. But as they were getting ready to carry him, they could have said something like, we're going to bring you to Jesus, so get on this stretcher. And he looks at the people that are the four guys on the four corners of the stretcher, and he says to the one man in the corner, Jesus can't do anything to me. I'm totally paralyzed. But the man says, I had blind eyes, and he opened my eyes. And then he looks at another man on the other corner, and he says, I'm paralyzed all over. He can't do anything to me. And the guy says, wait a minute. I had a withered arm. I couldn't even lift this cot. And Jesus gave strength to my arm. And then there's another man on the other corner. And he said, I was deaf. I couldn't hear. And Jesus opened my deaf ears. And he said, yeah, great. That's your ears. But I'm paralyzed all over. I can't walk. I can't even move. And then imagine the fourth man at the fourth corner of that cot holding a stretcher and saying, can I introduce myself to you? My name is Lazarus. Hello. I don't care what your problem is, friend. The one who can raise the dead is the answer to your problem. You don't have a problem too big for Jesus. I was dead, and yet I live. You see the point here? And that's the reason I say this seventh miracle in this parade of miracles is the answer to all of our problems. So it's okay to believe in miracles, but trust only in Jesus. Remember, he didn't come simply to open blind eyes and deaf ears and straighten withered limbs or temporarily raise physical bodies from the grave like that young girl, that young man, or Lazarus. No, he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's move beyond these miracles and on to Jesus. The truth is that all you and I need right now is Jesus. So if you're saved, just pray for someone who you know that needs to be saved. Or even if you're not sure whether they're saved or not, just pray for them anyways. Or if you don't know for sure if you have Jesus and you want the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now that word believe, it means to live by and to trust on. So trust on him, that's Jesus. So don't just believe intellectually, but put your trust in Jesus. Lift your hands up in the air and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm dead. Please, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me from my sin. Lord Jesus, I need you. I repent of my sin. Now just lift your hands up in the air right now and say, forsaking all, I trust him. And then thank him for saving you and ask him to give you the strength to never be ashamed of you and to be loyal to you like Lazarus was loyal to him. Now I love you all. I truly do. So go out this weekend. Go out this weekend and just live. Live your life for Jesus and walk in liberty through Jesus and express your love for Jesus. And finally, display your loyalty for Jesus because he is our miracle maker. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, thank you.